take time to do that this morning. We're so grateful for what God is doing, the story that he's writing in and through the life of this church. And it is the hope of Jesus. Thank you for showing up for our community with the heart of Jesus, to provide care, to not look the other way. You know, I think there's so much opportunity we have as we respond to the way of Jesus and the life of Jesus here and now. And that's actually what Easter is all about. It's what it's all about. That there's a loving, living God who did not turn and look away from the need of humanity. That did not stay at a distance, but came so close. Came so close. And so we're thrilled you're here. You being here on this day is an answer to prayer. You being here on this day is a picture of faithfulness when a local church welcomes the life of God to come, and it's yes after yes after yes for 27 years. Every dollar given makes it possible. Every hour of sacrificial service makes it possible. Every invitation and prayer for a friend, for a neighbor, for a coworker makes it possible. This is a picture of a living God at work through his people. And we just want to celebrate that this morning. We're so grateful. We're so grateful. It is a gift. Today I'll be sharing a message on hope from the Bible. And I just want you to take a quick assessment of self and just ask yourself, self, how hopeful am I today? How much is my life filled with hope? And maybe think about your future self and say, future self, when I wake up tomorrow on Monday, will I wake up and the first thing I'm filled with is hope? Uh-oh, I already see some of the grimaces. Well, you're in a good spot. Because as I've been thinking about the reality of the lives we live, the reality of this incredible Easter story, is that if we allow it, it is intended to be the hope you are looking for. It's intended to be the hope that doesn't just fill you in a worship service one time a year or a worshiping community one day a week. It's a hope that is intended to anchor every breath you breathe, every moment, every circumstance, every situation. And here's why. Life is full of hopelessness. Amen? Oh, y'all are like, it's true though. It's true. And we're going to see it actually in the Easter story. The human heart is prone to hopelessness. The human heart is prone to being discouraged, disrupted by this life that we live apart from God. But if God comes, if God lives, if God dies, if God enters into death and sits quiet in a tomb and trusts, the story's not yet finished. Maybe us too. So we'll be in Luke 24. Luke is a book in the New Testament. The Bible is split into two big groups, Old Testament and New Testament. And Luke is one of the first books of the New Testament, and it follows the life of Jesus. We've been going through it since last December. And in this book, you get an up-close account of the life of Jesus and what he was up to. And we'll be in the 24th chapter, and so Luke is broken up into chapters, and then there's verses, and so we're going to be in Luke chapter 24. And I just want to let you know this. There is an incredible gift that God gives us in his own life to us. And I am finding that life more accessible when I read the Bible. And so if you're here today and have never been given a Bible or you do not own a Bible, it is a free gift we want you to walk out with today. And when you come back next week, as we're going to talk about more hope, just bring it with you. And then week after week, come with a Bible. And if you have an electronic Bible, but you want a hold it in your hand, highlight it with your highlighter Bible, take one too. Put your name in it because it'll look like the person sitting next to you and then bring it back next week. You got it? Good. Good. So we'll be in Luke 24. As we open Luke 24, I have a question for the room. Has anyone here today ever had to deal with unmet expectations? 100% of the room. That's amazing. That never happens. And I just will look the other way for everyone who turned and looked at the person you're sitting next to, okay? Uh-oh. No, unmet expectations. See, the Easter story, a story of miraculous hope, opens with unmet expectations. Let's look and see if you see it the way I see it. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. A few of Jesus' closest friends, women who had spent significant time with Jesus during the final years of his life, come to the tomb where he was buried. And what were they expecting? Dead Jesus. They were expecting Jesus to be buried and dead. That was what they expected on that morning. Jesus was crucified. Death was the reality. They took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, curious, dismayed, what happened? That's wonder. When you wonder about something, you're trying to figure it out, right? Their unmet expectations lead them to wonder. Suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" Then they remembered his words. If you want to take any practical hope from these first followers of Jesus, they had seen miracles. They had seen God do incredible things in the life of Jesus. And it only took them one crucifixion and about 48 hours to forget it all. They forgot. And that seems to be okay. But what happens is, in this moment, in this miraculous moment, God says, "Remember. Remember that this is going according to plan. Remember all that he said and all that he did. Remember his words." When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. Here we go. This feels fitting. "But they did not believe the women." Guys, look, we can show up and be excited about Easter and button the top button of our collared shirt. But we got to be honest, the Easter story is full of unmet expectations. They doubted. They expected dead Jesus. They woke up on that morning expecting nothing but grief and sorrow. God is dead. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. It doesn't compute. There is no way this works in my brain. Everything you're telling me is nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. The thing that's so wonderful here is the honesty of their experience and the humility to push past it, to go look, to go see, "Jesus, where are you? What happened?" Today and the next few weeks, we're going to be just sitting on the theme of hope here at the Vineyard, and I hope you'll come back, that you won't just leave it to a single Sunday, but you'll begin to explore this hope that remembers what God has done, that remembers what God is doing so that you can have a hope for what he will be faithful to do. This hope that wonders, God, this makes no sense to me, but you are above me. You are bigger than me. Maybe in you, things I think are impossible are possible yet still. See, the women were prepared to face death. They knew how to grieve. They knew how to prepare spices. They knew that there was a tradition and a custom that they needed to do to honor their friend. It's interesting to me that in this story of the gospel, which is the good news of God, unmet expectations gave way to proclaiming hope eternal. And what I know is that's actually true of your life of faith. At some point, your life and your story is this story. You had experienced something that brought you to the end of yourself, and you encountered God maybe where you least expected it. You encountered a God who's living, who comes to you. And in a moment, this unmet expectation gives way to the proclamation of hope eternal. God, I didn't think you would choose me. I didn't think you would love me. I didn't think you would forgive me. Whatever your story is, this is the story of God breaking in and taking something that might be nonsense, and it becomes the best story you've ever known. See, we all face circumstances that feel hopeless. We all have dealt with disappointment, discouragement, death. The grief of this life can just stack and stack and stack. And maybe that's where you're at this morning. It took everything you had in you to show up for a day like today. It took everything inside of them to show up at that tomb, thinking it was going to be different. But here's my question, and this is going to be a little more personal, kind of in your business. And it's a question I've been asking myself lately. Are we living our life today actually expecting God to be dead? Are you facing the circumstances of your life expecting a God that is dead? You have kept him buried in a tomb. He's not going to speak to you. He's not going to intervene. He's not going to lead. He's not going to guide. He's not going to show up where you least expect it. Is it possible that the way you've experienced your life is that you have come to maybe have faith for a God who will meet you in heaven one day, but he's a God that's effectively dead today? He's a God that's absent today. He's a God that you don't know or experience today. See, sometimes that's actually how faith works. We get a faith for what God will do with eternal life, but we've sort of distanced ourselves from a God who's active and alive in this life. But the Easter story calls us to something completely different. The Easter story calls us to experience a hope, not just for the next life, but for this life. Not just for someday, but for today. And I want to just walk us through what Jesus does so that we can all leave with not just a hope for eternity when I die, but a hope that's eternal beginning today. You know that's how eternity works? Eternity has already begun. Okay, I don't know quantum physics or like how any of this stuff works. This is not like string theory or like, I don't know. Like people are like really smart. Here's what I mean. Eternity is eternity, means it's always going. So when God calls us to faith that is for eternal life, guess what life is included? This one. Right now. Hope for today. Not just hope for when you die. Hope for today. Guys, I know it's not 10 a.m. yet, but come on. This is what we need. Here's what I mean. There's this invitation to remember and to wonder. To remember is to look back and go, God, where were you when I didn't even know? And I begin to see and I begin to look and I begin to behold a God that has eternally been working. And to wonder is to have enough humility that you're curious and you start looking. God, where are you? God, what are you up to? God, are you really alive? Prove it. Show me. And we're going to see it as he encounters two guys walking down the road. Let's check this out. Let's keep going in the story. This is what we need today. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus. Same day, women at the tomb, unmet expectations, remember? They go tell the guys. The guys kind of acted like guys. That was a joke. Thank you. There we go. Now we're waking up. It's getting closer to 10. We're doing this thing. Two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" I just picture Jesus going, this guy. "Are you the only one visiting?" And I like that they said visiting. He's like, "Yeah, like I'm on assignment here. It's cool." "What things?" Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who had said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said," take note of that, "but they did not see Jesus." Guys, can you see the like vibrant life in this dynamic? Jesus is alive. He's like playing with them. He's like, "Come on, guys, tell me what's going on. Let's be real. Let's be honest." And then he said to them, "How foolish you are." It's like, uh-oh. "How slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning what? Himself." Guys, the story of the Bible is to the glory of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, period. It is the declaration of Jesus who has come so you and I can live. All the Old Testament, that's what they're saying. He works all the Old Testament to a single figure, himself. When we read the scriptures, it's to behold the single figure, Jesus Christ. To see the faithful work of God, hope eternal, from day one, page one, to the bitter end, where all is then made new and right, and it gets to become the glorious eternity we've all longed for. Concerning himself, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and began to give it to them. The picture of the communion meal that we share week in and week out, that he shared before going to the cross, a practice of remembrance. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. I'm like, come on. What? Are y'all reading the same Bible? Like, is that what he did? It says they recognize him and then gone, disappeared. Y'all are like, that sounds like my faith story. I like recognize God and then like, where'd he go? They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" And here's the thing you have to see. Anybody walked 7 miles recently? I haven't. Never. No thanks. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. Remember, it's evening. It's dark. They've just walked 7 miles. This encounter with Jesus causes them to do what? Turn. They course correct their direction. They immediately go back. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true. The Lord is risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Church, this morning, please see the beauty of this testimony and this story. And what I want us to see is you are being invited into a story of hope that is tangible and livable today. Today, it is absolutely accessible to us if we're willing to remember, God, where have I seen you in my past? If you're willing to wonder, God, where are you right now? What are you doing right now? And if you're willing to let your eyes be opened and to recognize Jesus, to recognize that he has been revealing himself through all the scriptures. He revealed himself in the life he lived, in the wonder and majesty and the miraculous power of his words and deeds. And he confirmed it when he did exactly what he said he would do, be handed over to death on a cross, completely yield his life into the hands of the Father, and wait. Suffer and wait. Suffer and wait. Anybody ever suffered? Anybody waiting? The same hope that Jesus needed is the hope he gives you because he's lived it. He's suffered for you and for me. He's waited, trusting God. And so here's how I think we live it today. I just want to give us a couple challenges. And I just want to be real specific to you this morning. Hope must operate in real life or it is an illusion. Hope must work in real life or you are simply giving yourself over to an illusion that will not rescue you, that will not serve you, that does nothing for you. And so the challenge to everybody this morning is the challenge to those first encounters is to deal with what's real. To deal with what's real in our lives. Because if we want to know the risen Jesus, we've got to begin to welcome him to what is real about our life, or he will forever be kept at a distance. Hope needs to break in where there's a tomb. Hope needs to break in where there's disappointment and uncertainty. Hope needs to break in where something you're looking for, you cannot solve it. For hope to be real, it's got to meet us in our real life. And here's the challenge that I could not shake. I think the greatest challenge to us today in regards of faith and the work of God and the reality of God is this. We relate to God as though he is the only one who does not know what's going on. We are walking the road of our life, and God has declared he wants to walk side by side with us. He wants to know you. He wants to call you by name. He wants to pour out his love and his power and his authority in your life. And we look at him and we go, are you not the only one who has no idea about the things that have happened here? Do y'all see that in the story? These two guys are like, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem that does not know? But that's how our heart posture relates to God. Our heart posture is, God, we know the things that are happening. You don't. If you knew what was going on, you would do exactly what I say. And you would do it my way. And you would rescue me. And you would solve this the way I would solve it. But you're not God. And neither am I. And we have to get honest about our faith and this journey of hope to ask ourselves, are we living day in and day out believing God does not know anything about you and your life and your circumstances and your reality? Do y'all get the humor Do you see it, the irony? Are you like the only one that has no idea the things that have happened? Like all the people of Jerusalem know what happened better than Jesus. He's like, hey fam, I don't know, is that what the kids say these days? I don't know. I know so intimately well the condition of humanity. I know so intimately well the chaos and the destruction and what sin has stolen from my kids that I'm going to bear all of it in my very body. And it is going to be nailed to a tree because the curse that has rested on you, you were never meant to bear. Therefore, I will come up underneath it and I will take it on my very self. And then I will enter into the ultimate curse of death and I will trust God and wait. That is what hope is. Hope is trust. And Jesus models it and he goes, I know it closer than you. I've suffered it greater than you. But he lets our doubts be named. He lets the things that we're unsure of and the things we're angry about and the things we're confused by and all the nonsense be brought right to him. And he asks us, what are you talking about? Just imagine you go to lunch after this service and you beat the crowd because you came to the early one. And Jesus just pulls up a seat and he's like, hey, so what are y'all chatting about? You're like, are you the only one in Pearland that doesn't know it's Easter Sunday? And he'll just be like, tell me more. Give me your heart and your mind and your life. And then he does something really cool. He goes, hey, can I just remind you of something? Long before you, I was. Let me show you where I've been working. Genesis 1, in the beginning, God. Everything that's been made has been made through me, and I give life to everything. And then I just work as he just works. And he just works, and he shares everything concerning himself. And you begin to realize, like, did not my heart just begin to burn within me? Because he knows you need more than just the intellectual truth of it. You need the encounter in your being, the way he encountered hope in his very body. So that you would have an encounter that's undeniable, that God lives, that God cares, that God reaches, that God rescues. And even in the places we have looked at God and said, God, you just didn't come through. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Luke 24, 21. They believed God did not come through because they had an image and an expectation of how it was all supposed to look in circumstance. But he knew those circumstances wouldn't be sufficient. He had to do it the way that he knew would overcome for all time, for all humanity, so that we might all live. This road to Emmaus helps me see the three things that are essential for how you and I can practice living with eternal hope every day. And the first is this. Hope is strengthened through the eternal truth of God's word and the faithfulness of God's work. We have to become people who read the story of scriptures and build our lives from its faithful, true declaration of a faithful, true God. The anchoring part of the story is Jesus walks them through the scriptures concerning himself. We need to become more confident and convinced that the scriptures reveal the character of God. They reveal the nature of God. They reveal the reality of God. And we live our lives according to his faithfulness long before we were here, and his faithfulness for all the days. We will declare, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. If you want to experience hope on Monday, read the Bible. But you can't just go, I got my Bible in me. It's not going to get it. That's not going to get it. Because there were people who had the Bible, the same scriptures that Jesus referenced, and they missed Jesus. And so it tells me we all need help. So the second thing is this. If you want to have hope eternal, you have to get ready to live in God's family for eternity, which means we need to choose community today. If you want to experience hope on Monday, you need at least one other person who you talk about your life and your faith with. That's what's happening on the road to Emmaus. These two guys are walking together. And what are they talking about? Man, I tell you what, my favorite gladiator didn't make it. I don't know. I mean, were they talking about basketball? I'd be talking about basketball. They didn't have basketball back then. It's so sad. What were they talking about? Like their favorite athlete? Like, man, my athlete just got a good contract from the Roman government. They were trying to make sense of their faith and what they had hoped for. You need people in your life helping you make sense of this life of faith and what you hope for, because life is too much for you alone. And the scriptures and the faith journey will lead you to question, and if you're alone and isolated, you will miss things God wants to do in your life. Every part of the Easter story puts people in community. The women go to the tomb. Community. Then they go, look, it's empty. Let's go tell the other part of our crew. They go back. The 11 and everyone else who was gathered. More community. And then these two guys are walking along the road. Community. And they stop and the bread breaks and their eyes open. And what do? Where do they run? To? It starts with C and finishes with immunity. Community. The holy, eternal God is revealed in the scriptures. And he says, you cannot do this on your own. You're meant to have a relationship with me and with each other. So you have to prioritize the scriptures when you wake up tomorrow morning. You have to prioritize community when you wake up tomorrow morning, or we are acting as though God is dead. Was that too strong? Well, get ready for this next one. No, I'm just kidding. Here's the thing. The entire life you're living is going to tell you a story that you need to find fulfillment and hope in all sorts of things that will not last. The good news of the Bible is that it reveals a story about something better than the Bible. It reveals a story about the Creator God, who is the giver of life, who from the very beginning always knew God would close the gap to reach for you, to reach for me. It has always been a story of hope from day one. It has always been a story of rescue from day one. It has always been a story of relationship for you and for me. It has always been that. God never changed his mind. He never got confused, but man, humans did. Humans forget. God does not. So God reminds us, hey, remember what I said. Remember what I've done. And when you come to another moment that you're going to a tomb because you're experiencing another death, a death of a dream, a death of a relationship, a death of somebody you love and care about and treasure, when you face death all day long, we all need a story that confronts death and enters into death and tells us something different, and that is the story of Jesus Christ. Hope eternal meets us every step of the way. Jesus wants to walk alongside the road with you, and he's saying you're going to need community, you're going to need the scriptures, you're going to need practices that help you remember, like communion. You're going to need to turn to me over and over and over again. And that's what we're going to do today. The invitation to hope in Jesus is every moment you're looking at something else, you're believing in something else, you're trying to be fulfilled in something else, you turn to Jesus again and you come to communion. And in the breaking of the bread and in the taking of the cup, you anchor your life in a story that is no longer based only on you, but it's based on the living God. You anchor yourself in a story of hope that is not dependent on your best day and it is not threatened by your worst. It is held together by the God that has always held it together, by the God who has always come, who conquers sin and death. He didn't go to the cross for sin, and he didn't enter the tomb for death. He did it for you. He was thinking about your name and your face. He was thinking about you. He was reaching for you because he can do nothing else but love you and rescue you and save you. It is who he is. We remember and we live with wonder. God, what are you up to? You are living.